Well, in light of Mercy Sunday, we are going to talk a little bit about that, because the church's history has been that obviously we are called to walk with Christ, to be faithful to that. As the church became more and more into the lives of people, many times people became followers or Catholics because it was the thing to do. Sometimes we had Catholics who were kind of like a leaf. It was good to be Catholic, they were Catholic. If it wasn't so good to be Catholic, they kind of left. In the early church, the sacrament of reconciliation was only allowed to be received once a lifetime. If you failed any time after that, you were out of luck. The church did not afford you any kind of reconciliation. You had to really and truly live the Christian life. Well, as I said, when persecutions and things like that would happen, and people would leave the church, and they've already received the sacrament of reconciliation, maybe when they became Catholic or something, they were out of luck. There were those who began to practice allowing people to receive the sacrament again. And this became a very real controversy in the church. As a matter of fact, we had a pope and an anti-pope, one who was for receiving the sacrament more frequently, and the other one who stood by the fact that you receive it only once. Anyway, the thing is that as the church developed, had a number of ways of doing penances, which was not basically prayer. It was usually doing some kind of public activity. They may have stolen something valuable, they would be given a penance. A penance might be literally that they sit on the steps of the church, and as people came to church, they would beg their forgiveness, telling them that they had stolen whatever it was. That might be for the next 5 years that they have to do that before they would be allowed into church and receive the sacraments. So, and sometimes the penances would be far longer. They may be 10 or 15 years, depending on the nature of the sin. After a while, because there were more people outside the church than inside the church. That's not true. Anyway, the thing is that people get used to things. People were committing these things where they had to do public penances. Finally, the church started allowing for indulgences. Basically, the indulgence was usually that you make a contribution to the church. That is, if they were building a church, you would give some money to help build a church or help a society that worked with the poor or whatever, and you would give an indulgence. And the indulgence would say the penance that you had for the last 6 years is removed. You could go about your business. That worked out all right until they wanted to build St. Peter's in Chains in Rome, and one of the popes put out a big thing about indulgences, giving money to the church to build this, and you could get an indulgence. And sometimes they were a plenary indulgence, which is no more punishment. That became a problem because many people who were not that holy and kind of wanted to do whatever they wanted to do would give large sums of money and get bunches of indulgences. And then they'd go out and they'd kill their worst enemy and they'd flip an indulgence and say, I don't have to do anything. And so it became kind of a scandal with this kind of situation. The church had to obviously take a hard look at what it was doing. Finally, it did away with the public kind of penances and said that we offer prayer, but indulgences were still allowed. that is on the merits of Christ and the saints, that your punishment after you die could be remitted to some extent. So you have prayers that had plenary indulgences. You had prayers that had 5 days or 2 months or something like that. That would be for yourself, or you could apply them to somebody else. Even though they refer to after you die, after death, they still kept the value, that is, a plenary year or a year or whatever. And of course, who knows what that means when you're in eternity. But the fact is that they still maintain those things. Now they don't do that anymore. They do have plenary indulgences, and they have partial indulgences. The church says that when you say these prayers, that's how God honors those indulgenced prayers, is up to God, but it's also up to you. In other words, if you're living a good life, then those indulgence prayers may be more effective than if you have been saying all these indulgence prayers and not really caring about your religion or what it means to walk with Christ. So today we don't really hear too much about indulgence prayers, though they're still out there and they're still, people can still pray them. They can benefit people or those that you know who have passed on. They can be important. The thing is, I think part of it has to do with where we live, this time and age. I don't know that sin abounds all the more now than ever before, but I think there is a looseness in our world, in our society, that people don't worry too much about little sins or walking around and not being all that faithful. God wants us to be aware of sin. He still wants us to receive the sacrament of reconciliation. He still wants us to recognize the value of the Mass and what God has done. I think that's one of the reasons why God kept revealing to Saint Faustina about his willingness to extend his mercy to us. It became more and more, you know, you have World War I and World War II and all the stuff that goes on. He was hoping that, you know, by opening this up to people, this divine mercy novena, that people would be more conscious of sin in the world and in their own lives. Ultimately, God said that he wants people to understand his love for us, and that he wants us to be well aware of sin and evil. And he asked her to promote this divine mercy, God's love and forgiveness and his healing grace. And he proposed in doing this that the Sunday after Easter should be designated as Divine Mercy Sunday. Not just that we come and pray. Certainly, I'm sure many of you know the Divine Mercy Chaplet and all that's connected with that. Again, all there to help us recognize what Jesus has done by his dying and rising. I mean, this is what it's all about. He finally came and said that on this Sunday of divine mercy, that God would extend his mercy to people, to all people who would honor him on that day. What he prescribed is that people go to confession somewhere before that Sunday. They would come and celebrate Mass and receive the Eucharist and pray the prayer after communion of divine mercy that he gave her. And when people do that, not only through the sacrament of reconciliation were their sins forgiven, but God promised all temporal punishment due to our sins would be taken away. And again, we have to understand that this is not a license to sin, like buying indulgences. We have to be really careful that we don't get caught up in that kind of thinking. What God is doing for us is coming along and reminding us that when we go to confession, our sins are forgiven. That does not necessarily mean that punishment due to sins is taken away. In other words, people who have committed sin and confessed and all of that still may find themselves in purgatory, and they may spend some time there. We know people can pray for them and lessen their time and stuff like that, but for those who have committed venial sins, and for those who have committed mortal sin and have forgiven, they may spend time in purgatory as to make up for their failures. So when he comes and does this, it obviously is because the person is sincere. This is not put a nickel in the machine and pull the button and get this little thing that says okay. Now, this is because the people that do this are doing this because of their sincerity. They want to truly live their life away from sin, to love God, to understand His mercy, His forgiveness, and by so doing, to try to live more and more faithfully every day of our lives. And God promises that those who come with the right intention and, as I said, receives the sacrament before confession and comes and celebrates on Mercy Sunday the Eucharist and receives it and says the prayer that God says that when we die, those who have been faithful to this invitation and what he has done will in fact be freed from any temporal punishment due to our sin. So that he will not, as he says, come to us as judge, but that he will come to us as Savior. And he will come to us as friend and come to us as one who wants us with him. Again, a lot of it depends on our own approach. As I say, if we're kind of flippant about it, I can't say that it's going to do much. But if we are sincere in our desire to walk the path that God is giving us, and that we really truly want to work on our weaknesses and our failures, God promises that to those who really try to live their life faithful to him, on that day he will promise this and be part of his promise when we die. Of course, if we fall off the wagon, so to speak, and go live a lousy life, all things are canceled. We have to understand that. This is, again, unlike those pieces of paper that gave plenary indulgences. That's not what this is about. It is about our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus Christ, and our goal to be faithful to him every day of our life. He knows we're going to sin. He knows we're going to fail. But it's not that we fail. It's that we try with all of our hearts, our minds, our souls to walk that path with him. On Mercy Sunday, when we truly stand before him and say, this is what I hope and desire, God promises to be with us more as our advocate than as our judge, so that he will free us from any punishment in the next world and bring us safely into his own. That is what he wants for all of us. It's ours if we know truly how to accept it and open ourselves up to this tremendous grace that he offers us.